if you have two groups of moderates from different sides of the world, probably the most important thing is create kind of understanding and rapport between the two groups. And more importantly is that they could develop a sort of a front, a working committee to face any form of extremism in religion.
The two groups can form a united front against extremism. But it does seem, though, a little bit like preaching to the converted, with like-minded people meeting. Might it not perhaps be more useful to invite radical Muslim youths to the program?
Yeah, I guess theoretically, I mean, it would be good to have these radical Muslim youth to attend such a program. But the point is, it's very difficult to get them to join. And from my experience, they would be very antagonistic.
The radical Muslim youth leaders.
Yes. It's not going to be an easy task. It's easier that we hold dialogues with them rather than having this kind of program, exchange program.
So what do you think an Islamic youth exchange program between Australia and Malaysia should focus on?
First of all, they should focus on the challenges of the 21st century, like pluralism, which is a hot topic in Malaysia, about civil society, about good governance, about creating a tolerance between different faiths and different races. These are some of the pertinent issues that they have to focus on.
You mentioned pluralism, which of course one might say that Malaysia is a shining example of that, having three main races living quite harmoniously together side by side. Do you think that harmony can sometimes be jeopardized by political interests in Malaysia?
Oh, definitely. So basically, if you look at this ruling party, UMNO, for example, they're playing this racial card. So they're trying to say to the Malays, like, if you were to support the opposition, then basically the Chinese will get to power. And their counterparts, the Chinese in the ruling coalition, will talk to the Chinese, trying to sow this kind of feelings that if the opposition is to be in power, then Malaysia will be turned to become an Islamic state.
But what about radicalism in Islam? Is that a main issue in Malaysia? Is that something that we have to be concerned about?
I guess we have to be concerned about radicalism in Malaysia, because about these Salafis and Wahhabis, when they came back from the Saudi, they managed to dominate the government agencies.
Are you talking about Malaysian youth leaders who've just returned from Saudi Arabia?
Yes. They formed this wing called the Ulama Muda UMNO, the young scholars of UMNO. It's kind of disturbing if you were to hear their rhetorics. They used to write on this Malaysian newspaper that even Prophet Muhammad, he was a racist. So it's all right, even if the government has a racist agenda.
What has been the government response to this? Because the ruling UMNO party has for a long time been practicing moderate Islam. Indeed, the current Prime Minister Najib Razak is seen as a moderate, and his predecessor Abdullah Badawi had actively championed moderate Islam.
Well, as you probably aware, that they have formed this global movement of moderates. But if you look basically on the ground, then you don't see that they're practicing moderate Islam at all. Because of these young ulama, young scholars in UMNO right now, they have a very very strong influence over the masses in the UMNO. Because most of the supporters in UMNO, they are not very learned in religion. You could sway them to become radicalized in their thoughts and in their understanding of Islam. And furthermore, even like every time during Christmas nowadays, they even issued a verdict that Muslims should never say or, you know, wish Merry Christmas to Christians.
You are the director of the Islamic Renaissance Front in Malaysia.
Yes.
What do you see as your organization's main tenet? What do you think is the main brief for you?
Well, we want to promote rationalism, and we want to promote Muslims to think. Our motto is in Arabic is called لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ, for people who think. We want Muslims to think about what Islam is all about. It's a religion of peace. It's a religion that promotes tolerance, is a religion that embraces pluralism, focus on justice and freedom and equality.
You have written that ultimately governing a state is a human endeavor. So is that the central premise of your argument, that people can look to God for moral and spiritual guidance, but not answers for the day-to-day running of a country?
I would say so. The most important thing is that the Quran is not like the CICU manual or ICU manual, intensive care unit. They have the manuals. So Al-Quran is not like that. The Quran is not a set of rules. It's more of a guidance, a moral guidance for people to think and to reflect upon. So when the Quran says that وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي Adam, and we had dignified the children of Adam, means that all of us, irrespective of our race and our creed, so these are the essential things that we must understand from the religion, from the Quran itself.
So in other words, tolerance and respect for people of other faiths as well.
Yes, yes. And because the Quran is not a set of rules to be adhered, basically in terms of governance, because God has given us latitude for us in terms of our intellect to manage our worldly affairs. It is in a matter of faith that we have to be certain, and a matter of worshipping God. But apart from that, it is up to us to determine how we want to work our way on this earth.